Sonic Youth's new album, Daydream Nation, showed up on a lot of critics' 1988 10 Best lists, including the one drawn up by Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker. Ken said Sonic Youth is blurring the distinctions between accessible, commercial-sounding hard rock and the most extreme sorts of avant-garde music. In the New York Times, Peter Watrous said Sonic Youth is perhaps the predominant group in the underground circuit, a band whose best live shows shake the dried bones of rock and roll. They use the techniques of the art rock composers, huge walls of specially tuned guitars, noise, manipulated instruments, and incorporate them into song forms. My guest is bassist and singer Kim Gordon, who co-founded Sonic Youth in 1981. Quote you from a piece that you wrote in the Village Voice about a recent tour that the band was on. And I want to quote you. You wrote, "Before picking up a bass, I was just another girl with a fantasy. What would it be like to be right under the pinnacle of energy beneath two guys crossing their guitars, two thunder foxes in the throes of self-love and male bonding?" I really like the way you described that. And I was wondering what the reality was like compared to the fantasy.
The reality, two whining boys. No, no. You know, sometimes when the show is going the way you want it to, you know, when the sound and everything is really happening on stage, and you know, that's really, I guess, that kind of power that I'm talking about, that, you know, you see sometimes when you go to see your favorite group or you go to see, you know, your favorite male guitarist. It's just, you know, it's just such a high. And, you know, it doesn't happen that often. You know, maybe one out of every 50 gigs. No, one out of every 5 or 6 gigs. And but it's something that you feel like everyone on stage is feeling it, and everyone, you know, in the audience is feeling it.
How would you describe the sound of Sonic Youth?
Like a kitten's breath. No, I don't know. At some parts of it, I think, are very uplifting, and other parts are very ugly, and you know, has a lot of texture in it. I don't know. I think of it like real life.
Mm-hmm. In Sonic Youth, you use not only a lot of volume, but I think you use amplifiers in a way, almost like instruments, going for different effects, for feedback, and for different kinds of distortion. Do you get a good mix on stage? Can you hear well what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's very, I think it's, unfortunately, we rely a lot more on a good stage sound than most bands. You know, it definitely makes a difference on how the show is, how we play. It's just, it's amazing, you know, from night to night, how it can change. It can just be, you know, just from playing on a hollow stage to a, you know, a solid stage. And, you know, can one night it can just be really dissonant and really just a drag. Where, you know, although the same songs in different acoustics can sound totally uplifting, you know, and totally different.
You wrote an article for the Village Voice about a recent tour, and you wrote that sometimes the audiences get hostile. You had one person who threw a drumstick at your head, and
yeah, I mean, that was really over a you know, from different tours,
mm-hmm.
in a way. But it's not, you know, it wasn't that I was trying to describe a hostile audience as much as a
hostile individual,
aggressive,
yeah,
you know, an energy that people don't, you know, know what to do with.
Well, what do you do when they have this energy that they don't know what to do with?
I don't know. I think, you know, it probably affects the music. Sometimes it can really get you going when, you know, there's, you know, when it's really dead. But other times it can just really, totally all of a sudden remove you from your concentration and just really, you know, like somebody, it's like somebody to hit you over the head when you're sleeping or something, or it does make you self-conscious all of a sudden.
Do you ever ask yourself if some fans misinterpret your music?
Oh, well, I know they do. I mean, and critics misinterpret words all the time. Like, this is the first record we didn't put a lyric sheet in, and it's really funny to, you know, to read these, like, in-depth analysis over the lyrics and stuff, and then they have the wrong lyrics.
You have two new albums now. One is the Sonic Youth record, and another record is called Ciccone Youth.
Am I saying that? Ciccone Youth.
Ciccone, okay. Is Ciccone Madonna's maiden name?
No, it's French for Sonic Youth. No, it is Madonna's,
Madonna's maiden name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You also do on the Ciccone Youth record one of Madonna's songs. How come How come you're so fixated on Madonna?
Well, at the time when we first did that song, Into the Groovy, we were really into her and that song. We just thought it was a really good song. And, I mean, no one in New York sort of took her seriously when she first started, and including us. So when Mike Watt asked us if we wanted to sort of share a record of Madonna covers, we said yes. So, you know, we just did it. Not really so into Madonna anymore because she, I think aerobics have ruined her talent.
Would you like for Sonic Youth to have a more a wider following, a more popular following, and to record for a major label, for one of the big commercial labels?
I mean, I guess we would like to have a wider following. You know, we would like as many people as possible to buy our records.
I guess I'm wondering if you think it's possible to have that kind of commercial success without smoothing out the edges of the band.
Well, I mean, you always lose a certain amount of your cult credibility the longer you stay around. You know, like now we're kind of in limbo, you know, because you're not always going to be, you know, the next new thing. And so you sort of naturally have to, you're almost forced to seek new audiences. But, you know, there are certain things like MTV won't play our new video, you know. They'll play it on 120 minutes once. But it's not, you know, it's not slick. I mean, it's more, you know, I don't really think that I want us to, it's not that I want us to really succeed and get a bigger audience. Just for, I mean, this sounds really like conceited, but this isn't how I mean it. It's like I want somebody to break through on MTV, you know. I mean, I want, you know, you turn on MTV and they show the same four videos over and over again. And it's almost like you're pushing, it's not like you're even aware that you're pushing for yourself, but you just want, you know, something to change. And you kind of, you know, well, the ball's in our court, you know. It's, you know, it's almost like you feel it's a responsibility or something. Mm-hmm.